بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we ask Him for help and we ask for His protection and we seek safety in Allah from the weakness in our own selves and from the evil results of what we do. And whoever Allah guides, there's no one who can lead him or her astray. And whoever Allah finds deviating from what is righteous, there's no one to guide him or her unless they repent and ask Allah's forgiveness and then accept his guidance again. And I bear witness that there is no God but Allah and that he has no partners and that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. Dear listeners, Muslims and visitors to the Facebook website and those who are going to be listening on the broadcast, we are broadcasting from Masjid Ibrahim Muslim Community on Fort Gordon in Augusta, Georgia. And we will begin by reading two ayats from the book called the Quran. And for those of you that do not know, the Quran is the book that God revealed to our Prophet Muhammad over 23 years, beginning when he was 40 years old and going up until just before he died at the age of late 62 or 63. And God gave us this book through Prophet Muhammad to bring the people back to him because over a period of years, people had lost sight of the revelations that had come from previous messengers and prophets. And he had a desire, and God always perfects his work. So whatever he desires, it comes into existence. And he perfected the work of bringing the truth to the people again through our prophet named Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abu Muttalib of the tribe of Quraysh of Arabia. And so we will now recite two of the ayats from this holy book. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. We begin whenever we recite Quran by saying we seek refuge with Allah from Satan, the rejected one. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, be careful of your duty to Allah with the care which is due to Him, and do not die unless you are in a state of submitting to Allah. And this has been interpreted by some of the writers: do not die unless you are Muslims. But the actual reading of it, if you read it in the Arabic, it says illa wa anta muslimun, and that doesn't just mean someone who professes to be a Muslim with their lips, but it means someone whose heart is sincerely submitting to serve Allah. We also continue, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadidan yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa man yuti ilaha wa rasuluhu faqad faza fawzan adheem. Again, this is addressed to those who believe. And believe in what? Believe in God. Believe in Allah. But the name Allah is the Arabic word that is translated by those who speak English that don't know Arabic. It's translated into the word God in English. But it's translated into Deus in Spanish and Dieu in French. And other languages translated into different other words. But it's all speaking of the God that is the sole master of all, and he is the creator of everything and the controller of everything and the knower of everything. So those who believe in God, this is for you. You may be a member of another religious congregation, but if you believe in God, listen to this, because it's for you. Be careful of your duty to Allah. Be careful of your duty to God. And speak the right word. And then God would put your deeds into a right state for you. If you speak the right word to your own heart, to your own mind, so that you will not allow the weakness in your mind or the temptations that come towards your weakness or those things that you are soft for, those things that you are attracted to, that you have feelings for, attachments to, that you would not allow those things to control your thinking so that you do not be honest with yourself when confronted with a decision. Should I follow that which I am attracted to that's not in accordance with what God has commanded? You have to be clear and understand that you have only one way to answer that properly, and that is no. I reject all that is in opposition to what God has commanded. But we have to speak the right word to ourselves. And if we do that, God says he will put our deeds into the right state for you. That's a very, very good way of saying something that can be said a lot simpler. He will cause you to do right. If you're honest with yourself when you're confronted with a decision whether to do that which is right, and clearly that which is right and that which is not right, if you follow your conscience that God gave every human being upon creation and do what you know in your heart is right, then you will do right and you will receive the rewards of doing right. But if you allow your weakness to interfere with your clear thinking about what's right and wrong and start making excuses for doing that which is not right, then you're going to go astray and you're going to do things that are going to be harmful to yourself and others perhaps. So God says that if you do that which your heart knows is right, your mind knows is right, by speaking the right word, and the right word is simple. Because God has given us in the book called the Quran the bayina, the clear guidance, the clear truth, bayina haq. And if we follow that, we won't go astray. But he also says, also follow his sunnah. Because he is the living example of one that did follow the book 100%, 1,000% to the letter in everything he did during his life after receiving the book. So if we follow this book and follow the example of the sunnah of our prophet, we won't have to worry. We'll be sure that we're doing the right thing. And so then God will, it says here, forgive us our faults. But I take it a little bit further. Because we all have faults. There's not a human being that doesn't have faults. That's part of our human makeup. We learn from our faults. If we are wise, we will accept the fact that we've done something that we shouldn't have done, and we will make up our mind to learn from that and not do it again. But I'll take this a little bit further. Because it says he will forgive us our fault. Another way of looking at it is he will protect us from our weaknesses. He will protect us from those things that will bring us down. I'll give you an example. Now, this is quite prevalent in today's society. You can't even hardly turn on the television and watch a movie without becoming exposed to some level of what is known as pornography. Now, Rafi it comes from the word graphic, which means picture. And the porn part has to do with indecency. Indecency. So pornography is indecent pictures, but it also can be indecent music. And there's a lot of that going on as well as the indecent movies, indecent pictures. And what is indecent? Well, you have indecent, which means the negation of that which is decent. So let's begin with what is decent. What is decent is that which is good for your soul, which is good for your mind. So if someone says, if they see a beggar on the street corner in the wintertime, and that person only has a t-shirt on in 30 degree weather and no shoes on, somebody might say, let me go to the store and get that person some decent clothing. So what does that mean? It means appropriate clothing, some beneficial clothing. So what is decent is that which is going to benefit us. So there are things that we can see with our eyes and hear with our ears that are indecent because they won't benefit us. It's not that those things sometimes in themselves are evil, because if you look at your wife's beautiful form without the covering that she would wear on the outside, that's permitted. That's not bad for you. That's good for you, because that will have you be more attracted to her and come together with her in a way that will make both of you happy, and it would be pleasing to God. As long as you're not doing something that in and of itself has been forbidden, and we won't get in that today. But the thing about it is God wants us to do that which benefits us. So when we say he will forgive you your faults, he's also saying he will protect you from your weakness. You may have a weakness. There are a lot of men that don't have a wife. And rather than them put themselves in a position financially and mentally, emotionally, because you have to be mentally and emotionally in a position to be able to benefit from having a wife. And you have to be financially in a position, because the man has responsibility, according to the book, the Quran, to maintain, to take care of the wife, to provide for the wife's needs. So some brothers, instead of putting themselves in any position to do what they should be doing, which is to get a good wife, they will take the easy way out. And they will enjoy the pleasure that should come from uniting physically with the wife by using a substitute, by engaging in watching pornography. And it's been said by scientists, psychologists, that the dopamine, which is a nervous, you could say, chemical reaction to certain things that causes excitement and gives a person an extra good feeling, the dopamine effect that comes from watching pornography is very similar to the dopamine effect that comes from actually having a physical, real relationship. But even more significant, it says that it's like the effect of someone that's on heroin, opium. It gives a person that calm and feeling. Even if they don't do anything extra to reach a state of arousal, just watching it gives a person a feeling similar to someone that's using opium or heroin. But that's not good for you, because God created the woman to give the man that pleasure, that release, that relief, and that satisfaction. And so if we fall victim to that weakness of taking the easy way out, we are only harming ourselves. And there are many men who become addicted to pornography to the extent that they don't even want to have real relations with their wife because that's work. Now for the young man in his early 20s, late teens, 18, 19 years old, they may not think of it as work because they have all this extra energy. But you get to be in your 40s and 50s, and whether it's your first marriage or whether you've been married 30 years, you're going to find that you got to put some effort into it. You may not have the same amount of energy for it that you had when you were 20 years old. But some people, instead of going ahead and getting the benefit of work and making their wife feel loved and closer to them, they will go into their room, shut the door, and turn on the pornographic movie and try to get the same level of feeling good or feeling satisfying psychological or physiological relief. They're damaging themselves because, first of all, they're losing the contact with the Creator's will for them. And once you do that, you're going to find yourself making other mistakes. Because once you start walking away from the path, you become prey for all the rest of your weaknesses. And within ourselves, within our own nafs, they call it nafs in Arabic, our souls, God says in the Quran that He has created weakness within us. And some of the scholars, they call the weakness the jinn in us, J-I-N-N. But Satan talks to us from within. We have a surah in the Quran where we speak about the whispering one who whispers into the hearts of men and women. And so the devil, which is a topic we'll talk about separately, the nature of Satan, the nature of the devil. But just take this part. He whispers within us. He doesn't have to stand on the outside of our bed and bend over and whisper in our ear like he's some type of a ghost creature that's there but we can't see him, that have the form but we don't know what the form is, and we imagine him standing there whispering into our ear. That's a misconception. He's already in our mind. He's already within us, whispering to our soul, to our weakness, inviting us, go ahead and shut the door, turn on the internet, and watch that movie that you know you shouldn't be watching. Go ahead and watch it. Because your wife hasn't been acting the way you would prefer for that today. She may be a little bit sarcastic. She may not have taken the time to clean up to the extent that you would like the house to be clean when you get home. You are not happy with her today because she hadn't done what you want her to do. It's just an excuse because your weakness that is being excited by the Satan whispering into your heart is telling you to go something, do something that you would prefer to do than doing the work of being patient with your wife. So we have to be careful. And God says, whoever obeys Allah and His Rasul achieves a mighty success. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban. واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. In the Holy Quran, in Surah Baqarah, the second surah of the Quran, Baqarah has been translated as the cow. But in ayah or verse 255, God talks to us about his identity, who he is, some of his attributes. He begins this ayat by giving us his name. As I said, in this book we actually have the real proper name of the Creator. Many people, even those who are not Muslims that speak Arabic, that live in countries where Arabic is the commonly spoken language, like, for example, in Egypt. This is a country I visited, and the natural language of the people since the time of the companions of our prophet has become Arabic. Now, they didn't always speak Arabic, but as Muslims began to go into Egypt and convert the people and teach the people, they began to adopt Arabic as their language. And so you have many Christians in Egypt, not just Muslims, but many Christians. And I happen to have a copy of the Bible of the Christians from Egypt. And since their language now is Arabic, and the Bible is in Arabic, and of course the Bible is about God, so you will see thousands and thousands and thousands of references to God. But it doesn't say God, because the book, the Bible, is not in English. It's in Arabic. So what does it say? It says Allah. These are Christians. So God, Allah says, Allah, there is no God but He, the living, the self-subsisting, the eternal. No slumber can seize Him, nor sleep. Slumber is a synonym for sleep, but slumber is a different kind of sleep. Slumber is when you're just kind of relaxing, your mind is just not completely turned off, you're not completely in a dream state, but you're just nearly gone to sleep and you just relax. But God doesn't fall victim to the need or even the desire to relax, nor does he sleep. His are all things. His are all things in the heavens and on earth. And of course, without getting into a scientific discussion, astronomy lecture, but this word heavens, it's talking about all of the creation, the other beings, like the planets, celestial bodies, not just those we can see in this particular solar system or this particular galaxy, but many, 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 many other galaxies with many, many, many other trillions of bodies. All of these things are in the control of Allah, who created and maintains them, as well as everything on this earth. And there are so many things on this earth that humans have yet to learn about, even though they're constantly trying to learn, but they'll never learn everything in a million years. And that's because God is creating new things all the time. They can't catch up with Allah. There are creatures on earth that didn't exist 1,000 years ago, and there are creatures that existed 1,000 years ago that don't exist now. But everything that exists, God, Allah, is the creator and sustainer and the maintainer of it. And it says, who can intercede in his presence? who can have a voice, who can require his attention except as he permits. And he knows what appears to his creatures as before or after or behind them. Nor can they compass anything of his knowledge except as he wills. His throne does extend over the heavens and the earth, and he feels no fatigue. When I was in the army 60 years ago, almost like two lifetimes ago, the uniform that's taken on different styles and different names over the last 60 years, you hear the uniform called battle dress, utilities, camouflage or commies, et cetera, et cetera. But we just simply call the uniform fatigues. And the reason why it was called fatigues in those days is because it was designed for us to do hard work in battle conditions. We used them in the offices, but they were designed to be able to crawl in the mud. They were designed to be able to withstand a rough type of terrain, rough environment. And hard work, another word for hard work is called fatigue. So it says, he feels no fatigue in guarding and preserving the heavens and the earth. It's not hard work for him. It's not hard work at all. It's not even work in the sense that we think of work. It's not any effort. Because God, according to his book, the Quran, just says, kun, fi, kun, be. And it is, if he wants another planet or another galaxy to come into existence, he only has to say, kun, fi, kun, and then all of a sudden. It may take 10 million years, an hour time, but in the spectrum of God, there's no time. It's almost like it, boom, just happened. Even though if you were to look at it from an earthly astronomer's point of view, you may say, well, it took 10 million years to create that star, and 10 times that many years to create that galaxy. But God doesn't experience any feeling, oh man, I did some work today. No. And preserving them and keeping them in existence, for he is the Most High, the Supreme. And I'm going to end the talk today by sharing with our audience something from the writings of another one of the prophets. And I have to say, the writing of the other prophet, we know that Prophet Muhammad did not write the Quran. It was revealed to him over a period of 23 years through the agency of the angel Gabriel, or Jibril in Arabic. But God had many prophets and many messengers, and one of them that we know about, who is spoken about in the Quran, but also in the Jewish books, and the Christians took it from the Jews and added into their book the writings of many of the Jewish writers. And this particular messenger is called David, or in Arabic, Dawood. And he wrote something, and remember, he's the messenger of God, just like Isa ibn Maryam, and just like Prophet Muhammad. You know, these are all people that God raised up among their people to teach them. And so I'm going to share something. Now, he uses the word Lord, but I'm not going to use that word when I read it. I mean the writer, the translator. I'm going to just say God. Just leave it at that. To you, O God, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame, and let not my enemies exalt. Exalt means to take pride and ruining me and destroying me and harming me. Let not my enemies exalt over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. they shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. And that's a good thing to know. People may try to lay traps for us. They may be jealous of our desire to please God, to do things that are pleasing to God. They may not like us because we don't share in some of their indecent activities. We don't go to their drinking parties. We don't go around with them when they're scouting for women. And they may say, he's not one of the fellas. He's not one of the guys. And then they try to find ways to bring us down, to embarrass us. So they can say, he's weak just like we are. But God put it in David's heart and his mind to say that those who wait for you shall not be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. And that's treachery when somebody's trying to make you do wrong because they want to do wrong. They want to bring you into it. Make me to know your ways, O God. Teach me your paths. I repeat that. Make me to know your ways. Your ways, O God. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O God, and your steadfast. Steadfast means continuous, permanent love. For they have been from of old. This is the mercy of God, and his love for us goes all the way back to the beginning of creation of man, creation in general. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. Transgression means going astray from what is right. According to your steadfast, your permanent love, remember me for the sake of your goodness. God is good and upright, and therefore he instructs the sinners in the right way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of God are steadfast, permanent love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. And of course, covenant in the Arabic, we call that the deen al-fitr. That's the natural bond between God and his human creature, really all his creatures, just in our nature. In our nature to serve and obey and love our Creator. And the next time that we speak here, our topic, inshallah, God willing, will be our natural desire for our Creator. And we'll go into more detail about explaining that when we give that talk. So we close now, thanking God for the opportunity to be here today, to be present today for this Jummah program. And we always end with a special prayer for our Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, prayers and peace be upon him. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid. O Allah, raise up Muhammad and the true followers of Muhammad as you did raise up Abraham and the true followers of Abraham. For surely you are praised and magnified. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the true followers of Muhammad as you just blessed Abraham and the true followers of Abraham. For surely you are praised and magnified. So we close now with the traditional closing. We'll give it in Arabic and English. In Alaha Yamaru Bil Adli Wali Sani Wali Tai Zil Kabah Wa Anha Nil Fisha Yi Wamankari Wabagi Ya Azakum La Alakum to Zakarum. God commands justice. God commands what's just, what's right. And also the doing of what is good and generosity to our relatives and our kinfolks. And that doesn't just mean the people that are our cousins, aunts and uncles, parents, grandparents, but we're all united in the bond of kinship to humanity. So we have to be careful that we don't constrict and restrict ourselves and lose the greater meaning of what God is commanding us to do. He's telling us to have an open heart and to be generous to all of his creatures, not even just the human creatures. In fact, there's a hadith is a tradition or a saying concerning our Prophet Muhammad, where he said that, and I may not get it exactly the way you may have heard it before, I'm paraphrasing, that there was a woman and she had a bad history. She had a weakness. And her weakness is to be with many men. And she had a bad reputation in the community because she was what they would call easy. Easy. And some men were attracted to her because they didn't want to have a permanent relationship, or maybe they already had a wife that they wanted to stray away from, and they could go to this woman. But according to the story, this woman with this bad history, this bad reputation for immorality, and one day she saw an animal, and I can't remember if it was a cat or a dog, but she saw an animal. And the animal was lolling his tongue. And, you know, over in that part of the world, it gets very, very hot, 110 plus degrees in the shade. I've been over there. And it gets very, very hot. And the animals get hot. And the animal was seeking water, and there was no water that the animal could get easy access to. But there was a well there. And the woman saw this animal lolling and tongue out and thirsting, probably getting close to dying from thirst. And this woman who had a history of immorality, of indecent bad behavior, she took off her shoe, some people say it was a boot, and she dipped it in the water. And she poured water, I think, in the cup or in her hand, and she let the animal drink water that she had procured for the sake of feeding that animal. And probably say God forgave her her sins because of the generosity of her heart. So when God says, God commands us to have that sensitivity and that generosity, even though technically you could say that the language says to our kinfolks and our relatives, but think beyond that. Be generous to all of God's creatures. Stephen said the Prophet Muhammad told the people that when they were in battle to spare the trees, the bushes, if they were not required to be cut, to be used for fortifications or to keep the enemy from hiding behind them, things of that military nature, leave them alone. Respect their right to live. God commands justice, the doing of good, and generosity to our kinfolks and our relatives. And he forbids all shameful deeds. Forbids all shameful deeds. And here it says in Arabic, Fashai and Munkari. So you have Fashai, which is the actual things that are forbidden. fahisha or fashari, which is fornication and adultery, participating in imbibing alcoholic beverages, intoxicating our minds with pornographic pictures, movies. All that's fashari, forbidden. But then you have munkari, which is that which is considered to be distasteful. That which maybe is not outright condemned, but if you were to be doing it, it's not something that you want your mother to catch you doing. It's not something that you would want to do in the presence of the Prophet Muhammad or Jesus or any of God's messengers or prophets. Because you know that they would rebuke you for that. Because they tried to the best of human ability to stay away from anything that was shameful or distasteful or bordered on not being pleasing to God. So God commands us to stay away from all of that. And it says in conclusion, he instructs you so that you may be taught, that you may be warned, that you may be guided. Amen. I